In a few short weeks, we will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Of course, we have Good Friday to come, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we know that if you back up from there, you have Jesus walking with his disciples, trying so hard to make inroads into their hearts, their thinking, to open their eyes. For several weeks now, we've talked about heart condition, and then we continued on about living differently, about the attitude of our heart makes a difference in what we are able to see and how we are able to see. And so several of us are picking up, of course, on this theme and saying, Lord, let my heart be tender and yielded to you and responsive to you, because I want to see you, Jesus. How many want to see Jesus? Yes. High and lifted up. Is he worthy? Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. I've got a formal title for this message. But early this morning, as I was up and praying, there's a real simple message title and a real simple heartbeat to what we want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. And I'm going to just say it in three words. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. You know, Peter had been with the Lord. I love Peter, don't you? Amen. Big, aggressive, burly fisherman. And you know, he would blurt out things and get in trouble, but he had revelation. He was the one who said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I just love Peter, because the grace he needs reminds me always of the grace I need. But Peter walked with Jesus. And then Jesus was arrested. And he was taken to the house of Caiaphas and Annas, and he was being questioned in illegal trials. It's an incredible, powerful story. And Peter wanted to be close. And he was warming himself, if you remember, by the fire. And a little girl looks up and says, you're one of his. And then he goes, no, not me. And then it continues another couple of times a little later. You're his. You even talk like him. Remember? Yeah. You're Galilean. He could run from his circumstances, from where he was. But what had been imparted into his heart and life through a personal, intimate walk with Jesus Christ was something that imprinted him so deeply he couldn't get away from it. They said of the disciples, they knew they had been with Jesus. You even talk like him. Walk with Jesus. Bill, your prophecy was right on. Pastor Sherry, you're opening the rest of the prophetic words. Appreciate it. What confirmation of what the Lord is saying this morning. But you're one of his. You look like it. You sound like it. And it's all present tense. Come on, say with me, present tense. Right now, in the now. Present tense. Walk with Jesus. Would you turn to Luke chapter 6? If you have a tablet, your phone, whatever you have your Bible with, a hard copy. If you don't have a Bible this morning, there are ones at the back, and I know there will be others from here who'll be happy to get one for you. If you need a Bible, just slip up your hands, and ushers, if you see a hand up, give them a Bible. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to spend my whole morning, I'll have another couple of verses, but I'm going to spend my whole morning on Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to begin with verses 6 through 11. Luke 6, 6 through 11. Now it happened on another Sabbath also, Are you there? Luke 6, yeah. Verse 6. That he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal, say it with me please, on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. He brought him right up front. This isn't something he was going to do over in a corner. He brought him right up front. Arise, knowing that people were agitated with him, watching what he was going to do. He says, come on down front. Arise and stand here. He rose and stood, and Jesus said to them, as he looked around, consider the eyes of Jesus looking right at you. If you're upset with him, he's looking at them and he's saying, he knew their thoughts and said, Jesus said, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the others. Now, everyone, would you raise your hands to the Lord? The Bible says we lift up holy hands to Jesus. Lifting up holy hands is all through the Scripture. But you see, when sin enters our lives, our hand, our life activities, our hand gets withered. And Jesus says, stretch out your hands and I will make you whole. Let him move upon you. Even right now as we're speaking, Jesus, we welcome you with your healing power. We welcome you with your life. And withered hands, be made whole now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Withered hands and hearts are touched and made whole by the Lamb of God. But you see, you can put your hands down if you want to. You can leave them up if you want. But some people don't like you raising your hands. Some people don't like singing songs and singing in the Spirit. But you see, healing comes as you enter into praise and worship to the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, there is liberty, freedom, healing, life, strength, vibrancy, deliverance, encouragement. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains are broken. Be broken now in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of the Lord. And some people don't like it. Let's take a look. See what those who looked on did. His hand was restored as whole as the other, verse 11. But they were filled with rage. And in the King James, that means madness. They were full of rage. They were so angry, they were full of stupidity. Literally, it means that in the Greek. Ever been stupid mad? Come on. Oh, several of you are just so wholly sanctified. Stupid mad. Where you hit your hand against a wall and the next time we see you, it's got a bandage on it. Not the wall, your hand. Stupid mad. And they raged and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Legalism blinds your eyes. Legalism blinds your eyes. When you walk with Jesus, keep your heart tender and it will keep your vision bright. Walk with Jesus, keep your heart tender and it will keep your vision bright. They watched him closely. The Greek phrase literally means they inspected alongside, noting insidiously or scrupulously. Why? Why were they peering at Jesus in this way? It wasn't like they had eyes of devotion and love on the Lord. They weren't just watching for his next moment. How exciting. They were looking to trap this man that they might find an accusation against him. How are they going to accomplish that? Why? They were going to put it in noble terms, in religious terms, because they had religious legalistic spirits. This deals with the Sabbath. You better keep the Sabbath. You better not do anything else on the Sabbath. What is wrong with you after all? As if they see miraculous healing every single day and you can do it a different day of the week. Come back Tuesday and get healed. Isn't that crazy? But legalism blinds your eyes. See, there seemed to be no question that Jesus could do it. There's no question that he could do it. That's not an issue. It's when he's going to do it. It's what day he's going to do it. It was more important for them to protect their understanding of their laws than to free a person from suffering. Why do we gather in church? To worship the Lord and to see his people set free. And to see people delivered and made whole and forgiven and made right with God again. But they were more hung up that Jesus better do what we want him to do. They argued healing was practicing medicine. And you need to practice medicine, not on the Sabbath, that's work. But you see, Jesus didn't do anything but simply speak a word to bring life. He told the man to move. And when that man moved, there's full of pregnant meaning here, pregnant with meaning. And when that man responded, when that man moved, when he got up, healing came. Sometimes the Lord tells us, get yourself to church, call for help, get back into the Word of God, pray. Whatever the Lord might say, get in and get some help. When you do the movement, many times God will release the healing. It's not our works, it's our response. Yeah. Can you respond to the Lord? And everybody say, amen, I can respond to Jesus. He asks us for his response. But they became literally wild with rage. Their hatred combined with their zeal for the law. Now listen, just I want this to live for you. This is context. This helps you understand the scripture. Their wild fury combined with their zealous legalism for the law, blinded them to the reality that they themselves were now breaking the law as they plotted for his murder. It was against the law. But that one didn't matter. What mattered is, come back and heal him on Tuesday, not today. Legalism blinds your eyes. So we need to see like Jesus. How many want to see like Jesus? I want to walk with him. I want to see like him. I want my eyes to be open to understand him. Number two, motes and beams, specks and planks. Whether you're reading the King James or one of the newer translations. Again, vision problems in natural life can often be told by your heart condition. We spoke about it several weeks ago. When your heart is hard, you cannot see spiritually. And here we are again. Jesus is trying to open eyes and hearts. Legalism blinds your eyes. Let your prayer every day be, Lord, open my eyes to see you. Jesus, open my eyes to see you and what you're doing. Lord, let my heart be tender and yielded to you and before you so I can hear you and respond to you. Luke 6, verse 39 says that he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? It was the spiritual condition of Israel, wasn't it? Verses 41 through 42 of Luke 6. You're there in your Bible. 41 and 42. Why do you look at the speck, or in the New King James, or in the King James, the mote in your brother's eye, and do not perceive the plank, the beam, in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye. Hey, bub, you have a little something in your eye there. You can look up at the screen and see that. Let me remove the speck that's in your eye when you do not yourself see the plank that's in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, out of the New King James, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. They couldn't see. Their attitude of jealousy and hatred, their offense, was completely hardening their arteries. if you will. Their hearts were hard. They were getting ready for a major myocardial infarction. And there's your technical term for a massive heart attack. A myocardial infarction. But they were ready for that because they had become brittle. Consider, they'd prayed for thousands of years for God to deliver them, come to them, reveal himself to them. They've been praying for years to be set free from Roman domination. They want a conquering King Messiah, but this one in front of them conquers death and demons and malady and affliction and sicknesses, but they can't see it. Church, is your answer right in front of you? Many times we go through things and we wonder, Lord, what are you saying? And what we need to pray is, Lord, open my eyes to see what you're doing. I want to see you, Jesus. And I want to see what you're doing and be a part of what you're doing. He comes. He heals from sickness and sorrows. He delivers. He forgives. He forgives sin. And they get upset at that. And soon he's impaled upon a cross. Pre-tortured to a degree prior to crucifixion. Prior or more than any other person who had ever been impaled on a cross. His hands and feet will be pierced with spikes. His heart will be shattered and heartbroken. He'll be pierced with a cruel sword. And they can't see beyond healing on a wrong day. But the Sabbath is supposed to be when God and man meet. Kingdom living is kingdom loving. Walk like Jesus. See like Jesus, love like Jesus. How many want to love like Jesus? Yes. Of course we do. We want his love to pour through us. That's the theme, really, of the entire morning. And he says he'll do that. Luke 6, verses 27 to 31. Luke 6, 27 to 31. Your finger is right there in the scriptures. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, how many can say with me, that ain't easy? Are you listening? Are you awake? Wow. No wonder Peter said, how many times we got to forgive? Seven. That's a stretch, Lord, okay? 70 times seven. You kidding me? How many know you can't do that in your own strength? It takes Jesus in your heart to help you do that. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other. Well, I'm not too inclined to want to do that, are you? Go ahead, beat me up again. Oh, wow. If only you could see from where I'm standing. Some of you just, when I say things like that, you kind of go flat. Others of you look like, boy, you're just really unholy, aren't you? Look, guys, if this doesn't live, it's not real in our lives. Right. If it doesn't become real, how about in your family? How about somebody who's offended you? How about a neighbor? How about your kids' parents or grandkids? Kids, how about your parents? We have a few kids in the room. How about your parents? I mean, after all. And Stephen and Timothy are saying, please don't bring that up here this morning. No, I mean, but if we let this live, it's real. I mean, what about when they offend you? Come on, I'm going to ask an awful question that's awful for me as well, guys. We're in this together. An awful question that sounds like, who have you and I written off that Jesus didn't? Who have we written off that Jesus doesn't and didn't? Who are we to do so? Dear God, forgive me for the wickedness of my heart. When I keep you like this, those people I don't want anything to do with who treated me bad. And Jesus is saying, look, I know what it's like. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be going through this shortly. And he was going through this the whole time. How'd you like to, every time you open your mouth, have people standing around going, just waiting for that mistake you make. I'm going to use it against you. It's an awful place to live. Thank God you got friends all around you, but every one of us have real circumstances where maybe we're tempted. I'll say it nice. Maybe we've been tempted to cut off that relationship that Jesus didn't. God, help us have your heart. How can I love like Jesus? Well, he tells us, to the one who strikes you on the one cheek, give him the other also. He takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. From him who takes away your goods, don't ask for them back. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Love like Jesus. Is this fun and games this morning? Luke 6, verses 35 through 38. 35 through 38. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be the sons of the Most High. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Can you say here with me this morning that before you got saved, that was you and me? And he's kind? Aren't you glad? Wow. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Please read the next phrase. Forgive, and you will be. Now watch the context of a verse that's always used for giving your tithes and offerings, especially to television ministries. The context is forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Now, there's no question when you give biblically your tithes and offerings, the Lord will give back to you. But the context of that, these verses, is all about forgiveness. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Walk like Jesus. See like Jesus. Love like Jesus, live like Jesus, forgive like Jesus. The word enemies is ekthros. It's the Greek word ekthros. Literally means to hate, be hateful, odious, hostile. Those who are adversaries like Satan. Love your enemies. Are you kidding me? It's not a casual word. It's a deep hatred and a horrible resentment. And Jesus says, love them, do good, be merciful, don't judge them, don't condemn them, forgive them. We don't do well when our own friends mess us up, or our family members mistreat us or do something wrong. And Jesus said, it's not just them I'm after. I'm after getting you to help love your enemies. The world is a post-Christian culture. We know that, guys. This isn't the 1700s, even the 1800s. It's not even the 1950s in the Bible Belt. We're in 2019 when people are shoving Jesus away as far as they can and they want to accept every other religion on the face of the planet but nothing to do with Christianity. I'm here to tell you as a pastor, it is literally abhorrent. It is wicked and it is cruel that 59 people at a Muslim mosque were shot down and murdered in New Zealand a week ago. It is wicked, it is cruel, it is demonic, it is wrong. But you need to be aware that 300 to 500 Christians have literally been slaughtered in Nigeria in the last couple of months. Their houses burned, people burned alive, slaughtered, maimed by militant Muslims. And there's no decry or outcry on the streets. But I want to tell you a little story. True story. Just read it this morning. They had taken, those militants in one community, about 50 children to line them up. And they were going to kill them if their parents and if the children didn't renounce Jesus. Now, the ones who were being killed at this particular community who couldn't run fast enough were the older ones and the real tiny little ones. But Jesus showed up in a dream the night before and said, I will protect you, children. Do not renounce your faith. And they, the next day, were pushing the parents. They were going to kill these people if they didn't renounce their faith. Remember, the word of the Lord had come. And this was miraculous, because what happened is, all of a sudden, when they were going to shoot these kids, they saw soldiers begin to scatter, begin to run, drop their weapons. A couple of them were crying out, snakes, 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 and a couple of them dropped dead. One of those who were captive, one of the adults, picked up one of the rifles to shoot the retreating Muslims, and a child looked and said, you don't need to do that. Don't you see the one dressed in white over here who's protecting us? God is protecting us. And a miracle happened, and every one of those kids were spared. I don't even pretend to understand and know how to solve the crises in the world throughout all the populations, except I know one answer, and his name is Jesus. And I labor with all my heart and all my soul to do what we can do to bring Jesus to this earth. Because he's coming back. And then it'll be over. But we need to take as many people with us into Jesus and into eternity as possible. And we need to stop as many people from going to hell as we can. And it's going to take us, just like the prophecies said this morning, walking with him, looking like him, thinking like him, seeing like him, loving like him. And sometimes the really hard one is forgiving like him. Forgiving like him. I don't know if I would do so well as they're doing. But kingdom living and kingdom loving means forgiving. The world desperately needs to see real Christians. We're in a season that many people who aren't even saved but go to church hold to a Lenten season. And what they really need to see from us, the world needs to see Jesus. You know, the old song says, what the world needs now is love, so we love. What the world needs now is Jesus. And they need to see us living as real Christians, loving as real Christians, hoping as real Christians, forgiving as real Christians, and helping each other and them, even when it's tough, in the present tense. The past, as Pastor Sherry said, it's under the blood. It's under the blood of Jesus. The present, it's right here to walk with him. Someday, now the future, that's eternity. How do we do this? I know this is tough stuff, you guys, but it's real, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. How do we do this? We do this with each other. We do this toward our family members who have offended us. We do this with our neighbors that we don't get along with. Yes. We do this every day, not just Easter and resurrection. We do this because we remember what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Someone say amen or oh no. Amen. Our flesh, our druthers, our preferences, they're all impaled on the cross, because 9:23 of the book of Luke. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How do we do it? Walk with him and humble ourselves and love him and live him. Number one, remember from where we came. How do we do this? Four simple points. Remember where we came from. Now, some of you, some of us, were worse sinners than some of the rest of you. But that's okay. Every one of us desperately needed a Savior named Jesus, who went to the cross for you and me. Whether or not we were pronounced in sin or maybe just goody two shoes, it doesn't matter. Every one of us desperately needs Jesus. And when we keep in touch with that reality, It keeps our hearts tender before him. Number two, repent of any hardness of heart toward anyone. Repentance. We can make that a huge deal. I got to be full of remorse. Well, that comes many times. But you know what it's really all about is raising your hand and saying, you know, I see it, Lord. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. I'm walking this way away from him, and I turn around. I say, I see it, and I repent. Please forgive me, and I walk back toward him. Repent. A change of heart which leads to a change of mind. I want to think differently about that. Lord, I want to live this differently. Is there any area of your life this morning, church, any area in any one of you that you know you need to repent of for something? Is there some area where I know my heart's not quite there yet? I know I don't quite live there yet. I know I'm not quite forgiven. There should be plenty of examples. We don't need to go into them now. But guys, we're all in it together, aren't we? I know it's quiet in here, but I believe this is the heart of the Lord for us to see how much he loves us and wants to transform us to walking with him. Amen. Even better. Now remember, you all committed, you all signed up for this because this morning you started by saying you want to see him better and be closer to him. And I know you're looking at me going, you tricked us. Remember, from where you came, repent of any hardness of heart, and then just plain receive his forgiveness and mercy. Receive him. Don't hold him back. If he's convicted you this morning, by the way, if there's something on your heart you're convicted for, that's a gift of God. He didn't convict you so you could leave here bludgeoned to death. How was church? Oh, boy, I don't know, man. It was rough. No, it wasn't. It was the gift of God moving in our lives, showing us, oh, there's something. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we receive him. Thanks, Lord, for wanting to change me. And thanks. I know I'm not there yet. I want to do better. Thank you, Jesus, for making me more like you even this morning. We pray, transform us. And this is how he does it, by his Holy Spirit. And then renew your heart to give him away. The world and its ways have been conquered by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the world needs men and women who will rise up and give him away. Is that you? Is that me this morning? Tell them the good news of Jesus. Kingdom living, kingdom loving, kingdom forgiving. Walk with Jesus. As you invite people to Good Friday and Easter, it's not just come to a service, it's come see my Jesus. Come hear about my Jesus. Not just a man of the past, a historical figure, but a living Lord of the present who forgives and delivers and heals. And a living Lord of the future who has eternity to take us into. Church, isn't he worthy? Has he done something this morning, I pray, to capture your heart and mind? Say, oh God, just keep working. Don't let me go. I don't want to go off to the right or to the left. Lord Jesus, I want to be just like you. I want to walk like you. I want to love like you. I want to live like you. And that means I want to forgive like you. Oh, Jesus, thank you for convicting and bringing us to you. Amen, church? Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's do that song again, Is He Worthy, if we could at the end. But church, if you'll stand, let's take a moment to respond to the Lord. Because I believe he's here doing a great work. The river of God has flowed all morning long. He's given us so many different pictures and so many ways to respond to him. So what I'm going to do is, Elaine, if you'll just play the key of G, just play the melody of that last song, if you would. I Sing to the Lord, or pick one that you want to play in the key of G. But I'm going to ask you to take some time. I'm going to ask you to not rush out. I'm going to ask you to take some time, a few moments even. And if there's something in your heart that you know Jesus has shown you that you need to make right with him, then that's a gift of his Holy Spirit. Do it right now. Because he loves you so much. Can you just stand before the Lord? And I'm going to pray on all of our behalf. Lord Jesus, right now, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you that you're not leaving us alone, but that you continue to work and change us and transform us. Now, Spirit of God, just show each person, whatever that thing might be. And church, I want you to just receive what the Holy Spirit shows you. And just quickly ask his forgiveness. It's not hard, it's simple. Because he's here with you. Jesus, we repent. I repent of those things that you're showing me right now. And now, Lord, by faith, I receive your forgiveness. Come on, just say it with me. Now, Lord, by faith, I receive your forgiveness. By faith, I receive your mercy. By faith, I receive your cleansing blood. By faith, I have no condemnation. The past is under the blood. You're transforming me now. And I commit myself to leave this place today a new man or woman, whatever you are. And Lord, by faith, I choose to live by walking with you, seeing like you, loving like you, forgiving like you. And they all said, amen. God is good. Come on, let's give him some applause. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worthy church, amen. Stand with me, would you? Stand with me for the blessing if you'll raise your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I believe as we've celebrated our time together this morning, there's not to be left an ounce of condemnation, but a challenge for us as we go forward to be more like him than ever before. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, let's keep on serving the Lord, shall we? God bless you. Be released in the presence of Jesus. Amen.